It takes more than saying it depends to be a great software engineer. This is episode 217 of the Soft Skills Engineering Podcast. I'm your host, Jameson Dance.
I'm your host, Dave Smith.
Soft Skills Engineering is a weekly advice show where we answer all of your non-technical questions about the technical field of software development. And we don't need to answer your technical questions, I guess, because the answer is always it depends.
That's right.
This is kind of a trope in the engineering field, but there's a lot of stuff where it doesn't depend. It's like, should I drop this database in production?
Well, that depends.
Or not? It depends, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of trade-offs for different technologies, and each of them has their own strengths and weaknesses, and you just got to evaluate them individually. And yeah.
Although, nothing's worse than when someone says it depends, but they don't say what it depends on.
It just depends on, I don't know, which zodiac sign we're in.
It always depends on something.
Yeah. It depends on the collective opinion of the places that programmers talk about technology on the internet. I feel like that's the answer in a lot of cases when you say it depends. Depends what the hive mind believes.
It depends on what I've read on Twitter this week.
Yeah. Yep. Depends on the last most persuasive blog post that I read.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Should I read a story from one of our listeners?
It does not depend. You should.
Okay. All right, I will. This is a story from an anonymous listener. Not a question, a story. They write, "Hi, Dave and Jameson. I'm not going to tell you how much I love your podcast because that would be pandering, and I know you hate that."
You know so well.
"Anyways, I just wanted to say thank you for your advice. I recently got a job offer for a developer evangelist position, and during my negotiations, I channeled my inner soft skills to ask for what I think was a pretty drastic raise of $25,000 per year from my current salary. The company seemed a little surprised by my request, but said they would take it into consideration." I wonder if they said, "Well, that depends." "They came back to me with a salary increase of $20,000 per year, and I will be accepting this offer tomorrow. Looking back over my offer and my current finances, I realized I'm currently making $10,000 per year under what I went into the salary negotiation thinking I made. So it turns out I had unknowingly asked for a $35,000 a year raise. Grimacing face whoops." I think that was a written version of an emoji, which is awesome. "And their offer turned out to be a $30,000 increase. Anyways, thanks to the confidence I've gained from how you normalize the negotiation process on your end, I'm making quite a bit more than my current soft skills engineering position." I think soft skills engineering position means the one you're about to quit.
Yeah.
"Okay. Thanks for all your advice. Keep it up."
What a great story.
That's awesome. It's like not knowing how much money you're actually making gave you the confidence to ask for even more than you realized.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think through how you could do that on purpose next time, because it would, I mean, negotiating is scary, but if someone gave you an offer that was much less than you were currently making, you wouldn't be scared to say that's much less than I am currently making. You know,
like, true.
It would give you confidence and certainty, and sadly, that counts for just as much as technical skill when it comes to negotiating raises or pay.
This is why whenever I go into a salary negotiation, first I go visit a hypnotist who convinces me that I actually make much less than I do.
Wait, the other way, right?
No. Right. That's right.
Your hypnotist has really sabotaged your career, Dave.
Oh, man.
Okay, now you have to go see a hypnotist to remove the like shame and agony you feel from all this money you've left on the table.
Oh, boy.
Well, I'm glad you got a raise, and I'm glad that you forgot in a way that helped you. Usually I only forget in ways that make my life worse.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good job.
All right, I'm going to read our patrons. Thank you so much to Braden Keynes, Dennis Bogdanov, Evgeny Sladkowski, John Grant, Luke Bayless, microconfig.io, Nick Hathaway, Nick Kantzar, Alexander, Philip John Basile, Ryan Real McCoy, The Agile Ventures Charity, Sean, Stanley Tactical Radio, Stephen Arman Lee, Travis, and Vinlock. These are the folks who donate at the level where we shout them out every single week. Thank you to everybody else who has or who will yet donate. And you can do that by going to softskills.audio and click support us on Patreon. If you do that for any amount of money, for any amount of time that is greater than zero for both of those things, then you get an invite to our Slack team where you can hang out and chat. and learn from other folks who are like-minded and care about the non-technical side of technical stuff.
That's right. I'm not going to debate you on that.
It doesn't depend?
Nope. Nothing. Okay. Nothing you said depends on anything. I would like to thank Vettery for supporting this show, sponsoring this episode. Vettery is an online marketplace where job seekers in the technical field of software development can find new jobs, and we'll hear more about them later. Would you like to read our first question?
So much. This is from a listener named Thomas. Hi. Over time, I've heard many different terms that all seem to equate to I no longer have a job. Some examples are quit, fired, laid off, and terminated. What is the difference between these and others, and what is best, both from benefits and emotionally, for the employee and the employer? Note, I am not planning to quit my job or fire someone, but I am curious to hear your views.
Huh. Okay.
So Thomas left off a few terms.
Yes.
What do you think they're missing, Dave?
Well, my favorite, which I learned as a youngster from Monty Python and the Holy Grail, is sacked.
Yep. Where does that come from? Is that from like the act of taking a city and burning it down, like in war?
Oh.
Because you can sack a city.
Yeah.
That feels like a pretty militant way to say someone doesn't have a job anymore. Maybe it means that they don't have a job anymore and you burnt their house down.
I have no idea.
Where sacked came from?
Yeah, I'm Googling it right now and I just can't find anything.
It's giving me the etymology for the word sack.
Yeah, like a burlap bag that contains things.
Yeah.
It looks like Google has failed me. I don't know what this means.
Oh, hey. I found a thing. Google sent me to this place called phrases.org.uk. The probable derivation of this phrase is an allusion to tradesmen who owned their own tools and took them with them in a bag or sack when they were dismissed from employment. It has been known in France since the 17th century as, I speak fluent French, so if you don't understand this, it's because you don't speak the right kind of French. Un loi a don son sac.
Wait, that was German, right?
No, that was French, but okay. They're very similar if you speak them in the true way.
Okay.
That I do.
Okay, so it means Collect your things, put them in a sack, and go away. So I guess the commercial version of that in modern office life would be boxed.
You've been boxed. Yeah, you put all your stuff in a box. You've been copied to Google Drive.
Archived.
Yeah.
Deactivated.
Okay. What else? So we got through one extra term. There's got to be more, right?
Yeah. I mean, we have redundant, been made redundant. Okay. I don't hear that one very often.
That's like a UK thing, I believe.
Okay. Or one of my favorites is, it's not that you got fired, it's that the company moved in an exciting new direction.
That's like when you are a bad person and you litter on the highway and you throw like your cheeseburger wrapper out the window. And it's not that you threw it out, it's that your car moved in an exciting new direction without bringing it along.
That's right. Well, the cheeseburger was just not part of our new vision.
It is weird. Some of these seem like they're to put more distance between the effect this will have on a person and the people doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you say fired or laid off or doesn't have a job anymore, it's pretty clear that'll have a bad effect on somebody's life. But yeah. If you say the company is moving in an exciting new direction, then you just get to think about these sweet, sweet shareholder benefits. And
yeah.
I don't know. The stock price going up. And
does this new direction involve me getting a Ferrari? Because if so, I don't care how many people you had to fire to make it happen.
You've been Ferrari for the CEO.
Ferrari'd.
I think we should double down on the military metaphors and just say like slain. Job was slain, defeated. Defenestrated, have you heard that word?
Oh yeah, that's a historical reference.
Yeah, thrown out a window. There's a specific word for being thrown out a window.
Mm-hmm.
And it should come up more often in real life. So
yes, it should. Although I don't recommend doing this to people very much.
No, yeah, that's true. Yeah. We just have to turn it into a more applicable metaphor.
Yeah.
Like the word literally, we just have to change it from what it means to a different thing so we can say it more often.
So true. Okay, did we cover them all?
I think so. I mean, if there are any other words, I sure don't think they matter at all.
Okay.
Only the things that I think about matter.
Okay, good.
And I'm sure there's more, but this is probably a good group. Yeah, okay. What do you think? What do they mean? What happens to a person or the company if these different words are used?
We should make a Venn diagram, I think, to to put the ones that mean the same thing or that overlap in the same little sliver. But I think there's basically three categories. And really, at the highest level, there's only two. And it's, did I choose to leave or did the company choose for me to leave this job?
Yeah.
And I can pretty much put all of the words into one of those two buckets pretty concretely. I don't think they're, most of them are not ambiguous.
They are all a subset of, I don't have a job anymore,
though. That's right. They all belong to the giant circle around all of them that says, I no longer have a job.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, quit's pretty clear. You chose to leave.
Yep. Or you did something really bad and are covering it up.
That's true, actually. So I was going to say it's definitely your choice, but have you heard the phrase managing someone out?
Oh, yes. We should put that on the list.
Yeah, they were managed out. That basically means that you made their job bad enough that they quit because you wanted them gone, but for some reason it was hard to fire them.
Yes, or you didn't want to pay severance.
Yeah, and that is a good point about quitting. If you quit, you generally don't get very much from the company. I don't even think you can file for unemployment in some cases if you quit, in the US at least.
That is correct, I think.
So quitting can be expensive if you don't have an alternative lined up.
Okay. But generally when someone says, I quit, it means they chose to leave. And probably the company didn't want them to, but maybe they did.
So
next term?
I mean, fired's the next one on the list.
Okay. Fired. The company made me quit. And they say it was my fault. That's what that means.
Do you ever hear about, do people get severance if they are fired? Like, does the company give them anything?
Yeah.
I guess it depends on if they're an executive or not.
I have seen severance when people have been terminated with cause.
Sometimes you don't get it, though.
Yeah, I think it depends on the cause. So if you're underperforming and the company doesn't want to pay you anymore, I think it's pretty common for those people to get severance. If, however, you decided to drop the production database and remove all the backups, maybe you wouldn't get severance.
Yeah, or if you broke a law or were abusive or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. But, do you have a sense for, I don't know if this question has an answer that is knowable, but do you have a sense for how often you would get severance if you were fired? I mean, is it more often than not or less often?
Oh, I know exactly how to answer this question.
Okay.
It depends.
Ah, I knew it. I knew it was coming. The computer in my gut, the very accurate data-driven gut computer, tells me that it's probably less likely to get severance than, like, I would say most people that get fired probably don't get severance, but...
Yeah, I think so, too. I think in most cases, if someone got severance, the term the company would use would be laid off.
Yep, or let go or something like that.
Let go. Let go, yeah. Is there really a difference between let go and laid off? I think let go is kind of more in the fired category, and laid off is more in the... We had to remove you from your position because we didn't have the money to pay you anymore.
I think so too. Yeah. There's many layers of Venn diagrams here.
Yeah. We're going to need a 3D Venn diagram of spheres.
Yeah. Let go is often a nicer way of saying fired.
Yes.
But I mean, maybe the effect of it being a nicer way is that you might get more severance too.
Oh, yes, potentially. And then, of course, we go to the venerable term terminated, or sometimes abbreviated termed.
What? Termed?
Yeah, I've heard this. So I've heard managers say, I have to do a term.
Okay, I have so many questions now. Do they fire so many people that, like, there's jargon for it?
They're like, look.
They have to save those two syllables and it really adds up when you just chop this many people out of your organization.
Exactly. I don't know. I think it's more of like a code word. If I just say term, then someone walking past my office might not clue into what I just said.
Aha. It's like security through obscurity.
Hey, Bob, did you take care of those terms? Yeah, sure thing, Fred.
With gusto.
Oh, man, so many terms this week.
Oh, such a hard life to term this many people. That would raise some eyebrows.
Term this many people.
How do you term a person? Okay, so terminated. What does that mean?
I think terminated and fired are basically the same thing.
I mean, we didn't explicitly... Well, no, we did. Laid off is like probably not your fault, but maybe some larger structural changes.
Mm-hmm.
The company moved in an exciting new direction.
Right. You're a cheeseburger wrapper and the company is a car on the highway.
Yeah. You work in retail. Ouch. And the company doesn't anymore.
That's right. Yeah.
Your whole project was eliminated.
You know, that's right. And that is, I think, the softer kind of layoff where the company says, all right, strategically, we are cutting this department and everyone in it has to go. It's a little bit harder when the company says, we have to make across-the-board cuts and you three people were selected to be cut. Like that one hurts a lot more than, oh, you know, my company no longer sells microwaves and I'm a microwave expert.
Yeah, generally... When those things have happened, I've seen some attempt to identify here's who we will miss the least, or here's who's, it's not that we would fire them for performance, but they're the lowest performing out of this group of people or something like that. From the other side, I have never seen that, I've often not seen that explained well.
Yeah.
I feel like being around layoffs, people are very quick to invent their own stories because often there's not a clear story of why someone was let go or why someone was laid off why they were laid off. So people imagine like, oh, they got enough. That email they sent 2 years ago that was nasty to this powerful person has come back to bite them or like, I don't know, they got rid of all the highest paid people or.
Yeah.
And maybe they did and they're afraid to say it and they would rather deal with people speculating than saying, hey, we got rid of all the highest paid people.
Yeah.
And dealing with that fallout. But like, it's hard to tell someone satisfyingly, here's why we had to lay all these people off. Like, here's why mm-hmm. these people don't work here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So often that's where like corporate doublespeak, like moving in an exciting new direction comes in.
Right. So long time ago, I think I was just a couple years out of college and someone was telling me that they had gotten laid off, but they used the term fired. They said, oh, that I got fired from my job. And I was like, whoa, buddy. I don't think you got fired. I think you got laid off. And he was like, well, what's the difference? And I'm like, well, if you say you got fired, people are going to think you did something bad. If you say you got laid off, then everyone will feel bad for you.
Yeah, it's a much better story to future potential employers to say microwaves are not selling anymore. So they got rid of the microwave division. Then I added a fun button to the microwave that makes the door spring open with spikes on it.
So I got laid off.
You know how you have to like put holes in potatoes before you cook them in the microwave so they don't blow up? I just thought, why don't I make it so when you open the door, you hold the potato right up to it and the spikes jam into the potato and it saves you a step and there's a few lawsuits now.
So anyway, they laid off the automatic baked potato door division.
They moved in an exciting new direction where the company did not want to murder people that bought their microwave anymore.
Yeah, so that's basic breakdown.
Yeah, did we talk about from the employee and the employer? I would rather be laid off than fired or terminated.
Mm-hmm.
But I would rather quit than all of them because quit generally means that I have something better lined up.
But you didn't get severance.
Actually, I could also quit if it was just like so horrible that I couldn't bear it anymore. And I wouldn't want that to happen.
Yeah, true.
It depends.
It's our new favorite answer.
Yep.
All right. Well, did we answer the question then?
I think so. Yeah.
If you've been a software developer at the same job for a few years, it might be time to start looking around.
Quit your job is our favorite advice. But first, you should probably find a new job. Trust me, it is better this way.
Check out a service called Vettery, which matches developers with employers based on what you want, like your location, salary requirements, and technologies you want to work with. I actually signed up myself, and within a week, they sent me an opportunity that looked really good.
My current approach to job seeking is tweet dumb stuff and hope the company notices me. So this sounds like an improvement, I think.
Yeah. Once you sign up, you get a consultant to help you find opportunities. I also like that Vettery lets you specify your salary requirements early rather than going through the whole interview process only to find out, wah, wah, your salary expectations were way off.
That actually happened to me in an interview. It would have been nice to avoid that. You can start using Vettery without reversing a linked list on a whiteboard, too. They don't have a coding test to sign up. If you are thinking about taking our advice, the soft skills engineering patented advice and quitting your job, check out Vettery.
Go to vettery.com/softskills to sign up. That's vettery.com/softskills. If you use that link, you will help support the show.
And if you get a job through Vettery, they will send you $300. Thank you so much to Vettery for sponsoring the show. Do you want to read our next one?
All right. This next question comes from an anonymous listener who says, "Hey guys, I love your podcast and find it super helpful for me as I start my career in tech. I am in a conundrum. I am a student, and I took the opportunity COVID presented me to take 2 internships instead of 1. Both are at top companies. My question is, I am feeling like I am drowning in work. How do I navigate through this? And what are your general thoughts? Thank you in advance." What?
They say they're a student, but not what they're a student of. And I think they're a student of the art of grifting. Because...
Oh, no.
Yeah, it sounds like they have 2 jobs.
Yep.
And I don't think each internship knows about the other one.
Probably not. How do you manage that? Do you like work odd hours at one company and even hours at the other? Or do you stack them one after the other?
They follow the Linux completely fair scheduler.
Okay.
Do a lot of swapping between them. They just have it running on another tab, another terminal window or something. And it's like, oh, the scheduler tells me this microsecond I work on job 1. Oh, I've been preempted.
Yeah.
Boss is looking over at my shoulder. That's an interrupt.
I mean, do you have 2 laptops on your desk and it's like, pivot 45 degrees to join one stand-up and then rotate to join the other stand-up?
So, okay, before we keep telling this person how dumb this is, I do want to say there might be a way that this is not them being naughty. If their internships... So when I hear internship, I assume it's basically a time-limited full-time job for students.
Yeah.
That's usually how they work in tech. But sometimes it means there's like a project for a period of time that takes the place of a class at school, and you get credit for it, but not money. So maybe they have 2 of those at once.
Like 2 co-ops.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. But I don't know. That seems less likely to me than someone saying like, I don't know, Google and Facebook both like me. Cool. I'll work at both of them.
Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine. That seems really difficult.
Yeah. I mean, it would be difficult to have 2 full-time demanding jobs. You're right.
Yes.
It would be hard. That's why I don't do it. Maybe they're just like copying internal technology back and forth between the 2 companies.
Oh no.
So if the one company has like a really rad container scheduler and the other company has like a really cool load balancer, they just look like these container/load balancer geniuses.
Yep. By our forces combined.
Yeah. And in that way, you could say it's really making the world a better place.
Yeah. I think the end justifies the means.
It certainly does. Huh. Yeah. I don't really know what to tell you besides like, you probably shouldn't have 2 jobs at the same time for different companies because I don't think they would be pumped about that if they knew. And I don't think you could do a good job at 2 companies at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's called like a consultant, right?
Oh, yeah. I guess maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's an internship in a consultancy.
You're producing lots of detailed PowerPoint decks about strategy.
Mm-hmm. For 80 hours a week.
And you just sort of find and replace and swap all the names out of the companies.
Yeah, I think the key here is finding 2 teams in 2 companies that are so similar that you can actually write the same code and have it work for both.
I mean, code reuse and like software components and stuff, that's sort of the dream of lots of different methodologies. And you get the chance to see if this object-oriented programming thing really is all everybody says it is.
Yep.
Can you really just build these reusable classes between 2 different companies in different domains?
Exactly. And, I mean, this is great. So not only are you going to help two companies, but you're going to produce some coveted research on code reuse at the end of this.
Oh, like you're saying you're going to unmask yourself at the end and say, hey, that was a fun project that you helped me do to to do some software engineering research.
Yep.
And you're welcome.
Right. And I'll even let you put your name on the paper.
Yeah. You can both be second author.
Right.
I guess. Yeah, I don't really know what to tell this person. I feel like I'm drowning in work. Yeah, you are. So
yep.
So would I if I had two full-time jobs. I mean,
now what do you do? What do you do if you wake up one day and realize, I probably shouldn't have taken two full-time internships at the same time, and the summer's only half over? What now?
So it depends on what you want out of these internships, I guess. If you want to eventually work at one of these companies, doing a crappy job at two of them means you will not work at two of them. And you are more likely to get a job, I think, if you focus on one. So not even from like a moral or ethical standpoint, just from a self-interest of like, I would like to work here. I think it makes more sense to focus on the one you like better. And good news, you've got a really detailed look on what it would look like to work at each of these companies now. So you should be able to pick between one of them.
You can make a really informed decision.
Exactly. Yeah. I think what I'm saying is I would probably leave my internship at one of the companies.
You don't think you would just buckle down and really go for it and try to muscle through the summer?
Through both of them?
Yeah.
Not if I wanted to work at one of them.
I see. You think there's basically no way that you could do a good enough job at both of them to get a return offer?
I don't think so. I don't think I'm smart enough that, it probably depends on how capable you are and how well you know the domain and how high the bar is to have interns come back full time and stuff. But I would be worried I would not be able to hit that bar at two companies, even if I felt like it was fine that I'm assuming implicitly each of these companies believes that they are getting you full time.
Right.
And so even if I didn't care about misleading them in that way, then I'd still be concerned about just my ability to hit expectations.
Yeah. I get it. I'm with you.
Maybe that's why I'll never make the big bucks though, because I don't have the ability to
Work two jobs?
Say the ends justify the means.
Oh.
I could work more hours. I would just get worse for each additional hour that I worked. And then at some point, it's not even diminishing returns. It's negative returns.
It's zero. You just sit there and suck resources from the company.
Yeah. I mean, context switching is hard within a company. Imagine switching context between companies.
Imagine like you're writing a comment and you're like, at Google, we always do it this way. And you're like, oh, crap. I'm at Facebook.
Oh, crap. It would be interesting if it were those two companies specifically, because they are very different culturally and have very different engineering practices. And yeah, that'd be kind of fun to see.
I just hope that you write a super fascinating blog post when this is over.
A juicy tell-all.
Mm-hmm.
A scandalous memoir about your time in the tech industry.
Yep.
It would be novel to write a memoir about your time in the tech industry where the scandal is like, you did something wrong, instead of here's all the crazy stuff that happened around me.
Right.
That'd be pretty novel.
True.
If we are wrong, and it is not that you are working full-time for two companies at the same time, and we've just like said all these mean things, please let us know and we can help with the actual problem. But I think your problem is you have done something unethical and you need to undo it by leaving one of the internships.
And even if it is ethical, it might just be too much of a workload to take on. And same answer though.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the ethics of it change then, but I think it's better to do a good job at one thing than a crappy job at two things.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, question answered. Great question though.
Question answered. Thanks for letting us know that the world contains possibilities like this.
Yeah.
I had never even considered this before. Now I will.
Yep. When my kids ask me what they should do in the summer, I'll tell them, double internship at a mega tech co.
Anytime there's a performance issue with someone on my team, I'll add to the list of things to wonder, do they have another full-time job? And that's why that's why they're not doing very much work.
Yes. You should probably start asking that in your one-on-ones.
Just checking. Are you employed by any of our competitors? All right. I think we've answered the question.
Yep.
What can people do if they want their own questions answered, Dave?
Go to softskills.audio and click Ask a Question. You can fill out our form there. Thank you so much to the people asking questions. You are the lifeblood of the show. And also, you can support us on Patreon there by clicking Support Us on Patreon. If you do that, for any dollar amount at the beginning of every month, we send out a round of Slack invitations to join our Slack cult. Uniforms pending.
Uniformity of thought is guaranteed, though. All right, we'll catch you next week.